in 2020? What's our next step this year as children of God in our relationship with Him? All of those things rolled into one. We know we won't be perfect, but what's our next step? We know why we're here. We know where we want to go. So what is the next step? And what we, one thing we do know for sure is that we have an enemy, right, that would like to keep us from God, that would like to keep us from drawing close to God. And then we also have a time limit that we don't know. You know, we don't know how long it is that we get to be here. We're reminded every day as people leave from here that this life is just temporary. So we know why we're here. We know that there's an enemy. There's obstacles in our way. We know there's a time limit that we don't know what it is. And one thing we also know is that we have a tendency in our heart and our mind and our life to drift from God. You know, some people say, well, I was, you know, back when I was running from God, and we do that. But more often than not, it comes in the form of just slowly drifting from where we're supposed to be. And in the book of Hebrews even says, what makes us think that we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was announced to us by the Lord Jesus Himself? So what we've been talking about are these avenues of grace that God has given us to pursue Him, to engage Him on things like the scripture, worship, giving, stewardship. This Sunday we're going to be talking about communion. Then we're going to also talk about baptism. So some of the things that we do in life and that we also do together in the context of the church that draws us close to Him, teaches us more about Him, teaches us more about us, and that helps us to make our home with Him. So I want to read there in Colossians 3, 16 and 17. I just really felt like this summed up what we've talked about so far. This is Paul writing, and he says to the church there, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So right there in verse 16, the very first part of it, let the message of Christ, or the translation you may be familiar with or have heard before, is let the word of God dwell in you richly. Right? Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. And so the critical word that I see in that first verse is the very first one, which is let. Let. And you look at, even if you went back up to 15, he said, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. And I think that's critical because I looked up the word let, and it basically just means to not prevent. Right? Not that you're making it happen, but you're not preventing it from happening. Not prevent or forbid, but to allow, and you let the word dwell in you richly, or let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. And that tells us that while this transformative relationship is available, it is not automatic. Right? I mean, make no mistake, in the relationship, us and Jesus Christ, we are very passive in what we get accomplished on our side of it. Right? He has done the work. And what the scripture is telling us, what Paul is writing to the church there, is the work that Christ has done, the work that you receive through the word and all of its richness, let it dwell in you. Let it fill you up. Because what we know is that while we're very passive in our part of the relationship, we are still called to engage and welcome His work in our life. We don't just say or sign a card and say, yeah, Jesus, I like you. I think we should hang out. And then He just goes to work without you doing anything. He does the work. But there is a letting, or at least a not preventing or forbidding, that we are involved in. And those are these avenues of grace that we're talking about, these roadways of life that he's put down for us. He plotted it out. He said it should go here. It should move from here to here. He paved it. He put us on it. He told us what to do. But we still let him have our lives, our energy, and our attention. We let what? We let the scripture, the message about him, verse 16, in all its richness, fill our lives. Take over our lives. Cover over our lives to fill us up. And again, like I said, one translation says to dwell, to live with, to be full of. So that goes back to what we were talking about last week. Not just reading. You know, I can read Alice in Wonderland, but it's not dwelling with me. It's not becoming a part of me. It's not shaping me and changing who I am. I read it, put it on the shelf, I forget it. It's gone. Right? But the Bible, the scripture, the message of Jesus Christ in all its richness isn't just a book. Because if it was, how could we have a continuous relationship with it? How could we spend decades with it and still enjoy it over and over if it wasn't alive? It's the same way we compared it to a relationship that we would have with a person. You can't soak up all of what someone, just one person, is in one meeting or one week of knowing them, or even one year of knowing them. And that's just a limited, finite person. We're talking about the revealed character and nature of God. So while we can't soak it all up, you know, any more than we could absorb a whole person and who they are and their identity and know everything about them in such a short time, while we can't soak it all up, we can be soaking in it. Right? And that's what Paul is admonishing. That's what the scripture is calling us to. Let it dwell in you richly. Or let the message of Christ in all its richness fill your life. And remember, let. You don't prevent it. You don't avoid it. You allow it to have work in you. So that's our only action. Is are we going to receive what he has done for us? And we may fill up. We can get full up on the word, right? I can spend an hour in it in a morning and just be tanked up the whole day, but I didn't exhaust it. Just my capacity, right? There's plenty more where that came from, plenty more left for tomorrow. And that's why he's saying, let it dwell. When it's full of richness, let it fill your life. And then one of the things we're supposed to do with it is what we see in the next sentence. It says, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. So we've all said that before, like, yeah, I don't really know what to say to them. You know, I mean, they're dealing with this. I just didn't really know what to say. The scripture gives us that. The scripture gives us what to say. It will put the words in our mouth to encourage people with. And that way we don't have to rely on ourselves. It flows from him. It flows from his wisdom. We just have to have been dwelling in it and all its richness. We have to be soaking in it if we want it to come out when someone needs encouragement, when someone needs to be taught the better way on something. Or needs counseling on something. It comes from here. And the Holy Spirit works that out of our heart through the scripture that we've put in there. And we'll use it to encourage others. So it removes that, I don't know what to say. Because we don't. But he does. And he's given it to us in scriptures to teach and counsel each other in the wisdom that he gives. And so you can see already just in those two sentences, let the message of Christ and all its richness fill your lives. And so that's going to be individual, each one of our lives. But then it says, let it also bring you together, where you can teach one another, you can counsel one another, you can encourage one another in the word. So this isn't just certain believers, not just an inner circle, but this is an activity of the church. So when it says, let the word dwell in you richly, let the word in all of its richness fill your lives, it's not just talking about us personally, but us together as the church, that we love on one another with the word and the wisdom that he gives. Those are awesome. What's next? The next sentence in 16 is sing. Sing psalms, sing hymns, sing spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Singing. And we don't have to go all the way back through the scripture for me to show you all the commands to sing, or the invitations to sing. Sing unto the Lord. All the times we read that in there, we don't even have enough time to cover them tonight. But what we need to understand is this isn't a modern invention. You know, we might have invented, you know, worship music on Spotify recently. But the church has been singing since before there was a church, right? Jesus sang with his disciples. They sang all the way back at the beginning. This has been a part of the people of God all the way back. Singing, music, song, it has a power that is all its own. All its own. And what it's saying is you're going to sing in multiple ways. We won't go into all those words tonight. Songs, hymns, spiritual songs. They're different. It's different types of singing, different settings of singing, but it has its own special power, singing and music. We sing to remember what he's done in our life, what he's doing in our life, what he's going to do. So when we sing a song like that, I will sing of all you've done. And I'll remember how far you carried me. You may find yourself humming that this evening or whistling it tomorrow. And that's something special about music and song. You won't find yourself humming Stephen Priest Colossians 3. It's just like it doesn't. But all day today, I was listening to some music last night as I was studying. And one of the songs just kept turning, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Just over and over. And I'm just happy about it. And it was the truth just being rolled over and over in my subconscious, which made its way out to my conscious thought to just remember today that he's good. Right? And it had its own special ability to do that. So we sing to remember what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do. It confronts our flesh. Right? When your flesh is feeling certain kinds of ways, whether it's angry, sad, lonely, all the different ways we can feel that are negative and hurtful and toxic to us, singing can change our emotion and our outlook. Whenever I'm tired, because I usually do a lot of studying, a lot of sermon prep and stuff in the evening, and that's at the end of the day. You know, sometimes the days are long and you don't know what's going to have been in them. And so the first thing that I do is pray. But the second thing that I do is turn on some music. Turn on some music that's going to be singing the truth. And it starts to perk me up. It just does. It's a special ability that music and singing has. I've always said whenever I was getting up to speak and to share the word, it was so much easier when it was preceded by a time of singing. Because I'm able to get in there, sing, and worship, and it changes the outlook that I have and puts it on him. There's nothing harder than getting up just cold and nothing else going on and trying to share. It's just difficult and it's kind of stilted. But singing opens up those doors to my heart. Yours works the same way. So we sing to remember what he's done. We sing to confront our flesh or to comfort our heart. Remember I said on Sunday, when we can't pray, we should sing. When we don't have enough, when things are just too much of a flurry, you know, when things are just really tough, I'm reading the Bible, the words are blending together. I go to pray and it's just like, I don't, God, I don't, you know, I can begin to sing. I can begin to sing the songs that are hidden down deep in my heart that is going to remind me of the truth. And then it starts to pull me out of that. It can change the air in the room. It can change the atmosphere. We could go back to the Old Testament where King Saul was being tormented by evil spirits, and David would come and play the harp, and then the spirit would leave. And so there's a special, again, ability, whatever you want to call it, that singing has that pushes back darkness and can change the atmosphere. People will come in to a service and they'll say, "Oh, I really, really liked it. It felt like being at somebody's home." Right? And they're not talking about the part where me or somebody else is up there talking, because that's not like your home at all. Nobody stands up in the corner of the room and yells at everybody else. They just don't do that. But the singing is what they're talking about. The peace that comes from that, the atmosphere that develops there. I was, you know, I had a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of stuff going on when I got out of the car and I walked in. But when we were singing, or when we went through this time of worship, it just all began to lift. And that's why we do it. That's why we do it. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. With thankful hearts. And we can't forget the let, all the way back at the first of verse 16. We can't forget the let, because you know what? I've come in to a song service. I've come in mad, and we had songs. We had singing. There was preaching, and I left mad. And not when I was preaching. Not a long time, at least, that I remember. But I would have that. And what happened? I didn't let the word dwell in. I wasn't allowing myself to get past what my mad was, what my concern. And we do it with, you know, anger, anxiety, fear, you know, doubt. Whatever it is, we handle it the same way. You can come in with it and leave with it if you want to, right? And I found myself doing that, and then I would get mad, you know. And then I would, you know, slowly but surely come to myself and go, "Well, that was all my fault. That was all my fault. I didn't let the message about Christ and all its richness fill my life. If I did sing, I didn't sing with a thankful heart, and I wasn't singing to God because I was, you know, whatever, mad about something dumb. I don't know. But I've come in mad, been mad, left mad, and again, that's on me. I didn't let the Spirit teach me better, because I let it all be about me." So our singing, I love how these two things go together. It says, "Let the word dwell in you richly, teach and counsel each other with the wisdom it gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts." So you have our relationship with the word that waits our singing in the right place. It waits it in the right place. Our dwelling with Him, our letting the Word and all of its richness fill our lives, anchors us. And then it causes us to get the most out of singing. Because when you actually dwelt with His Word and learned about what He's done, who He is, what grace actually is and means, when you sing about it the next time, it has a different effect, right? It has a different effect, because otherwise it's like singing a love song about a stranger. It's somebody you don't know. But when there's a weight to it that you've developed from dwelling with Him and allowing the Word, letting the Word to dwell in you, it empowers your song. And then you're singing some of these things and you just cry, right? From a deep place of understanding. Now, I've seen people be emotional in worship and then just blow right out the door. You know, something happened. Just, well, what happened to them? Where did they go? Because they weren't doing the first part. They weren't dwelling with the Word, letting the Word dwell in them richly. There was a missing piece there. We just moved on into singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and out the door. But you see these working together, each one strengthening the effect of the other in our life. So let the message about Christ and all of its richness fill your lives. teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. That's why these things are never going to go away from the church. They've been doing it ever since it began, and even back before. They're always going to be a part of what we do, the scripture and singing and doing it together. And then look at this. It just covers the worship aspect of every part of our life. It says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God our Father. So I really liked how this just fit everything together that we've talked about so far this year. What's our next step? It's to continue to let the message of Christ, because it's rich, it's full, it's big enough for us our whole life long. We can be in it the whole time and never exhaust it. And then it says, use it to teach, counsel, comfort each other with the wisdom that He gives. Because you can always give somebody your opinion, right? Well, here's what I think you should do. That's, you know, maybe that's not a good idea. But when it's based here, it's like, here's what I've seen in the scripture. Here's what I've seen of Him. Here's what I've seen of the nature and the character of God. And then you can lead them into, you know, doing things as a representative of Christ. And then we sing. We sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and we sing together. So today I was singing alone, and it was fine. But when I'm in here with y'all and I hear all the voices, it reminds me that I'm not alone, that we're doing this together. When we sing together, there's a special thing that takes place. And then whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. And again, that can be intimidating. Just like, oh man, I'm always on the clock, right? But He's always on the clock. His word is alive and it's active and it's working in us to work those things out of us so that we can be a better representative of Him. Again, not perfect, but just taking the next step of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father in everything that we do. And that's what I was saying when we talked about worship, is that everything you do, bless your heart, that might be Luke. He's probably just mad, is probably what it is. Everything you do can be worship. Anything we do with right attitudes, right? With a mind to glorify Him, out of a heart that loves and appreciates Him. Amen. That we do everything as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Amen.